You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Delanice Salcedo herself giving the introduction. Hey, welcome everybody. You're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Live with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can always check out WrestleBossLive.com if you want to check out the show live there, as well as Blog Talk. And then, of course, Kevin Kleinrock and Greg DeMarco and everybody working hard to put everything up. The following day, Wednesday, they put up on all the networks and everything like that. So make sure you check it out. Lucha Central itself has Kevin Kleinrock is like the hardest working man in America. He's constantly trying to he says, hey, let's do this. We can get your ratings up. Let's take this over here. Always working for Lucha Central. So just me today. Just going to be hanging out with you guys, talking a little bit. But don't worry. Got Melissa, cheerleader Melissa Anderson coming up pretty soon, like in about 10 minutes or so. So make sure you hang on for that. And then at about the 7:45 mark last week, it was all wrestling because I was off the week before, but I didn't get a chance to get any of my jiu-jitsu guys on or wrestlers or anything like that, amateur wrestlers. So at the 7:45 mark, we're going to have Richard Arriola on. Dude is awesome, man. You know, I like the whole wrestling as a whole, like the way the guys grind it out and everything. And he's the epitome of that. Him and his brother run the Arriola School of Wrestling. I'm sorry, Arriola School of Wrestling. And it gives the kids a place during the off season to train. You know, they've all worked under Jiva Santana, which is a hardcore black belt. When I was on another show, I had Jiva Santana on there. And that guy's like, I call him a smooth operator because he's just real, real cool, real calm. And the dude's deadly. So we'll definitely talk to him at the 7:45 mark. But anyway, speaking of women's, you know, when I book the show, I try to get them on as early as possible because I want to make sure, you know, if the people have questions, they can either shoot me an email or a message or whatever, because for some reason, you know, they don't like to call in and meet face to face. I don't know, you know, what's up with that. I guess it's easier to go through me. By the way, if you want to call in, you can call 323-870-3387. Got Melissa Anderson coming up in the 15-minute mark, and of course at the 7:45 mark we have Richard Arriola. So if you want to call in, talk to any of them, believe me, man, I try to get to the calls, but a lot of times I'll get one or two, and then before I notice it, they'll hang up or whatever. So we're going to work steadily on that to try to get that ticket. They sent me a lot of emails and a lot of messages. I guess, you know, how about Hannah Kimura, who, you know, I don't even really know the whole story. I know she was cyber bullied or whatever. And then Ring of Honor Ring of Honor TV a couple of weeks ago, they did the special on her, you know, great wrestler. I mean, they really had something going on. I don't, you know, to me, she didn't look out of shape. They said they were bullying her because she was heavy. So I don't, you know, that stuff, I don't really get. I don't know what that's all about, but they were asking me, ask cheerleader Melissa if that's happened to her, or ask her if she has to go through that, or you know, just a bunch of questions about cyberbullying and all that with the women wrestlers, as well as the trend that, you know, I guess one girl came out and said that she was with the wrestler and he was beating her up and he was giving her a hard time and she was going through a lot. And then all these other lady wrestlers came out of, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but came out and started saying the same thing was happening to them, and they get pushed around a lot. I don't know if it's by promoters. I mean, I got to be honest, I've been doing this for a while. I've never seen that. I never have. I know the most of the promoters that I've worked for don't put up with that crap. I mean, Bart Kapinski, that dude, he don't put up with that stuff, man. If you're acting silly or somebody, you know, rubs it, he'll throw you out. He don't care, man. He will throw you out in a heartbeat. So I never saw that with him. Martin Marin, I worked for him for years for WPW. Never saw that. The Chivos working in Lucha Libre Alliance, never. They even treated them a little bit more with respect, the women luchadores and stuff like that. So I'm going to talk to cheerleader Melissa about that. See, I honestly don't think that could have ever happened or has happened to her, because she grew up in the business. I mean, I've known her, I think she was 17 or 18 when I used to work for her dad, which we're going to talk a little bit about that. And she was always, you know, hanging around the wrestlers and didn't take no stuff from nobody, even when she was a young kid, 17, 18 years old in the business. I mean, she never, you know, never saw that with her. She was just always too tough for that or whatever. But we'll talk to her about that, see what she says. Also, we'll talk to her a little bit about Lucha Underground. You know, she was Mariposa back then. A lot of people send me messages and emails and stuff like that saying that since Ricky Reyes came on, and he was saying, man, it would have been nice to have a little bit of closure to end it out. A lot of people agreed. They said, man, if they could just come back for one more season and close it out, it would be nice, you know, to have something like that to kind of close it up. So we'll talk to her a little bit about that, about her time at Lucha Underground as Mariposa, and see if they, you know, somewhere, if there's any glimmer of hope that they might actually do that or whatever. I think it'd be pretty cool, but I, you know, they don't have no say so in that. They just have to hope for that call and see if they go ahead and do it. So we'll talk to her a little bit about that. So we'll be talking to her in a few minutes, but you know, I work for another local company, local wrestling company, UWC, which they're working. Some of the guys that I used to work with before, and they got together and were trying really hard. They want to put this show on in city of LA, because like we were talking about earlier, LA is like the hotbed for wrestling out here. Want to mix it up with some luchas and some strong style, you know, some women wrestling. And so we meet on Sundays just to try to put everything together, which we already have everything set. We have, you know, the money put away for the wrestlers, the ring, everything. We have the venue, which is in LA. It's a church in LA, which is perfect for shows because they got a huge, like 60 car parking lot on the premises. So you're right there. You just walk right over to the venue, because a lot of these smaller companies, you have to park out in the street and walk or whatever. It kind of takes away from it a little bit. Somebody might not want to go because they don't want to be late and have to park 80 miles down the road. Huge parking lot right on the premises. Everything really nice. We have everything ready to go. But with the COVID, we don't know exactly when we're going to be able to do it. So when we meet on Sundays, we talk after the meetings and talk about wrestling. And all three of us this Sunday were saying, you know, I don't know what happened with AEW. We used to look so forward on Wednesdays to checking out AEW. You know, it started off, you know, with the bang when they had their first few pay-per-views, you know, All Elite. They were mixing it up with New Japan, and, you know, the shows were really awesome. And then they got their regular TV show, which I was totally looking forward to, with the Lucha Brothers and, you know, stuff like that. And it just, I don't know why they feel the need to have to veer off into these little stories and doing debates and stuff like that. And all three of us agreed. We're like, dude, you know, now it's not unwatchable. I mean, it's a good alternative because NXT, you know, and I got a lot of slack about that, because I don't like the way they're treating the Hispanic culture in the WWE. I got a lot of heat from that too. People say, nah, even Mecha Wolf, who was on here last week, said the same thing. He said, hey, I'm glad that Andrade and Garza were teaming with Randy Orton, or like they were all together or whatever. I didn't like it at all, but he was cool with it. You know, he even said, we talked about that too. We talked about how I'm happy for them that they made it to the big show and they're making money and, you know, being able to take care of the family and do really well. But I just don't like the way they buried him. But I guess I'm wrong. Mecha was like, hey man, you know, more power to them for teaming with somebody like Randy Orton and making money and all that. So I don't know. Maybe we have to do a show about that. Get some luchadores on here. And honestly, I'm in the minority on this, because I've had the Chivos, Guyam and Enigma on, and said the same thing to them. And they're like, man, I'm all for it, man. If they can get to the big show, make the big bucks, and, you know, it's good for them. Whatever happens, happens. They know they have talent. They shouldn't have to worry about it or whatever. But I still don't like it. I mean, I'm sorry. You talk about AEW, you don't see them ganging up and beating up the Lucha Brothers, you know, and just burying them out there. They get some shit. And then even when Gran Metalik, I mean, that dude can go. When Gran Metalik wrestled AJ Styles, I knew that was going to be a good match, because AJ can go with those guys. Good match. Great. Everybody got their stuff in. Gran Metalik, even though AJ went over, he still looked good. He still got to do his stuff. And I was like, cool. No, AJ didn't have to put him over, because he could still, you know, Metalik could still look good. End of the match, Lince Dorado comes in and he beats them both up. You know, instead of just shaking hands like in a Ring of Honor or something like that, and hey, you know, good work or whatever, and we're out. Nope, has to beat them both up, has to leave both of them laying in the ring, and he has to look like the big shot and walk off or whatever. So after a great match, which I was totally happy with, right then again, had to ruin it. I'm telling you. And I feel bad because, you know, Adam Pearce, people like that, those are guys that I know that I've grown up, not grown up, or in the business with, that I've known, and we've talked and stuff like that. You know, props to, I mean, I'm sure they don't have any say so in it or whatever, but I feel bad talking about Ryan Katz, who I put over on this show and my other shows many, many times. That dude is a genius. When I saw Joey Chaos when he revamped him and gave, and he, dude, he knows what he's doing. That guy really does. So I feel bad talking about him, but I can't watch that show anymore. I just, they're burying people. They got Nakamura. They're burying that dude. Cesaro is the baddest dude. I'm sorry. That guy can go. He's good. Why they don't push those guys in a different direction and not be afraid to put them up against the Lucha guys or, you know, Andrade and people like that, man. I mean, they could really, really have some good stuff going on. But anyways, talk a little bit more about that. I got to open it up sometimes so that people can give their opinion, because I guess I'm wrong. People say more than a few people have said that I'm wrong on that particular subject, but we'll talk about that later. I got cheerleader Melissa coming up in about 5 minutes, but let's see what Denise Salcedo has on going for this week. We'll be right back with cheerleader Melissa. Hold on.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week, or when to try a new one. This past Sunday, Jerry Villagrana presented a Spanish episode of Photo Versus on the Lucha Central Facebook page, and he went mano a mano with Mexico's Black Terry Jr., looking at some of their favorite photos of mid-match lucha dives. Even if you don't speak Spanish, you are going to want to check out this video from this one and see some of the best Lucha Libre photography on the planet. Tune in Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern for more each week. This coming Sunday, Jerry will be joined by the photographer known as Speedy as they talk working their way from shooting the indies to the majors and some of their favorite photos of indie talent now in AEW. On Tuesdays, on Mass, and Mayhem, of course there will be talk of Lucha Underground Season 1, Episode 14, which you can go watch right now on Tubi.tv for free. But this week, there's also lots of ups and downs over AEW, Raw Underground, and the use of former Lucha Underground stars Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar, along with his Legado del Fantasma. Plus, Casey unboxes the new Mr. T, WWE Elite figure, and more. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Bobby Chulo is back to talk pro wrestling and MMA. First, cheerleader Melissa joins the show to talk working as Mariposa on Lucha Underground, being a women's wrestling trailblazer, and the state of women's wrestling today. Then jiu-jitsu black belt Richard Arreola stops by to talk the Abu Dhabi Combat Club, the world's top grappling competition. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesday. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. This week, two-time AAA Cruiserweight and former AAA Mixed Tag Team Champion Alex Kozlov and AAA commentator Jose Manuel Guillen pull up seats at the table. Find the video version on Facebook Wednesday through Friday, and then on weekends, download the audio version in podcast form. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, it's part two with Los Angeles Misterioso as they talk the controversy surrounding his name, plus his international tours in Mexico and Japan. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring, from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows have news for you on the Lucha Brothers in AEW, the return of CMLL live action this past Friday night, Lucha Times weekly series, what's next for AAA, and more. Catch up on the top stories of the entire week in Lucha Libre in just 90 minutes. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Man, that's a lot of stuff going on with Lucha Central. I'm telling you, man, they work so hard over there, Kevin Kleinrock and all those guys getting everything together. It's going to be pretty cool, man, so make sure you check out all the major outlets for Lucha Central. For the people listening to us, you're here, you're at Wrestle Boss Live with Fabi Chulo. Make sure you check us out. We're going to be talking to cheerleader Melissa in just a few minutes, talking a little bit about the Lucha Underground, Mariposa, working in women as a whole. And it's as I'm in the commercial, because that's the big one right there where she gives her, Denise Salcedo gives all the updates. People saying, ask her this, ask her that. Some of the questions I'm like, man, why would you even want to ask a silly question like that or whatever? But, you know, people get real crazy when we're talking about cyberbullying. When nobody knows who you are, it's a lot easier. So let's give her a call. First of all, let me make sure I got the right number because I don't have my glasses in for my
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 4152.
Oh, got to get that off before that number gets out there. I'm going to send her a text that says to give us a call on this line. Sorry about that. That happens a lot. She said she was definitely down. I'm sorry about that. Let me just put this on the here. I'm going to have to send her the regular number. So as I do that, I'll give it out to you guys in case anybody wants to call in. The number to call in is, it's 323-870-3387. Okay. Put that there and then put, you can call. Oh, there she is. Hold on a second. Sorry about that, man. God darn it. Number if need be. Sorry about that. Okay. So I gave her the call-in number. And she, it looked like she was, oh, there she is right there. Hold on one second here. Hello, this is Wrestle Boss. You're live with Fabi Chulo. Who might this be?
Cheerleader Melissa.
I knew it was. I got like 30, 50 things going on, but real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at Wrestle Boss Live with Fabi Chulo. We're going to be talking to cheerleader Melissa. I got so much to talk about. If you heard in the opening, I was telling how many people were emailing me and texting me and everything like that. But if you want to call in, once again, that number is 323-870-3387. Melissa, how are you? It's funny because the last time I talked to you, I had you on my other show, but the last time before that was the Lucha Underground or the Lucha Expo, and I hadn't talked to you in quite a while since then. But, you know, real quick for the people listening to us right now, how's everything out there in Las Vegas?
Everything, I mean, it's okay as much as it can be. I mean, there's a lot of, pandemic, you know, there's a lot of things not happening and, you know, not a lot of people experiencing Las Vegas the way they want to. And I pretty much, my husband and I have been taking the quarantine we've been taking COVID really seriously. So we haven't really been out of the house much ever since lockdown.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm super familiar with Las Vegas because I used to work for a company called On the Mat, and we had a shop out there. And it was on Spring Mountain Road. It was right across from Floyd Mayweather's gym. And it was, you know, the hotbed of mixed martial arts and pro wrestling and boxing and everything. So we would go set up live over there and didn't even have to book guests. Just people would be coming in to buy gear, you know, gloves and hand wraps and, you know, jujitsu gis and shorts like that. And it's so slowed down with all this COVID. So real quick before we, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to talk to you about, but before we get into talking about what everybody's been texting me and emailing me and stuff like that during the COVID or whatever. I know none of the gyms are open or anything over there. So do you still, you know, do you work out at home, keep yourself in shape and, you know, I don't want to say wait for the promoters to give you a call to do some work or whatever, but just kind of, just, that's what you do. Just keep staying in shape and waiting to see what happens.
When COVID started getting really serious, I was 100% comfortable of just calling 2020 quits. I've been telling promoters, no, I am not taking bookings this year at all. So I am completely comfortable. And as far as like staying in shape and working out, like to be honest, working out at home is like always been my thing and my specialty. I'm not a gym person at all. I need to like kind of work out in my own space. I don't want to be in people's way or have people be in my way or be around people at all. So I definitely have a lot of experience of working out at home or working out in a hotel room when I'm on the road. So when like COVID started hitting and people were like kind of crying about the gyms, in my mind, I'm like, like I am perfectly fine. So yeah, no, I've been doing that, but yeah, no, I called it quits for 2020 for sure. No bookings this year. Did I lose you? What is going on? Hello?
Great. You know, this happened to me twice already. I'm sorry for the people listening to us. You're back here live on WrestleBoss. Had to go to the cell phone. That didn't work. Had to switch back to the house phone. So now I'm switching back over there. I'm going to run this again real quick. Hang on. I'm going to call Chiller and Lisa back. Hold on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Hey. Melissa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You know what? I'm sorry. Real quick for the people listeners, you're back here at WrestleBossLive.com. This is the third time that this is Blog Talk. I don't know what's going on over there, but this is the third time that it's dropped. So let me tell you what happened real quick before we continue. I have a direct connect that dropped. I don't know what's going on with that. So then I went to my cell phone and that dropped. So I had to go to the house and get to that. But finally, we're back on. It took a minute to get us back on, but I'm so sorry about that. So for the people listeners, you know, there was a little interruption there, but don't worry, Greg DeMarco, the producer extraordinaire, will be able to clear all that up for us. So I'm sorry. Before you were talking about the COVID and making sure that you let the promoters know that you were going to go ahead and take the time off and go from there. So, honestly, give me your opinion on this, because God bless them. You know, AEW, people like that, they're trying to continue on with no crowd or whatever. But, I mean, it's just not there, man. You know, you work off the crowd, you get a reaction, and it just makes a huge difference. Now, do you kind of feel that way too, or give me your opinion on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, they have to get creative. It's not watching the same product. It's not watching the same crowd of what we're used to, and, you know, and feeding off the crowd or listening to the crowd's energy for us to, like, play off of that and, you know, determine, you know, what we're going to do next. Yeah, it's just at times have changed, and it's not the same, and, you know, you see some of the companies trying to get a little creative with it, and, you know, it's definitely evolving the business a little bit, but I mean, yeah, like everything's just changed so drastically this year. I don't know what to say.
Because even your time at Lucha Underground, they had a live audience or whatever, and you still got reactions and everything from them, and it just made for a good show. Like, that show would have been different if it would have been in an empty studio. I mean, they could have put stuff in there, but you know, you kind of play off the crowd and things of that nature, but. Speaking about that, it always goes back to that when I post that I'm going to have specific guests on or whatever. We've talked Lucha Underground to death. I've had like Ricky Reyes on here and people like that, and we talked a lot about closure. He goes, it would have been nice if there would have been one more season just to kind of have some closure. Little Cholo was on with me, and you know, we all talked about that. We said, well, you know, they kind of left everybody hanging. So you kind of feel that way too? You think it would have been nice to have one more season so you guys could have kind of closed it out and kind of gave everybody some sort of closure or ending?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, because then at least, you know, all the storylines could have been written for closure, to be closed off. Because, I mean, realistically, I mean, first of all, it was not a wrestling show. It was a television show, you know, so we were only,
right.
You know what I mean? So we only aired, we operated off of seasons, you know what I mean? The normal wrestling companies are not, you know, aren't operating off seasons. They don't have a seasonal thing going on or anything. But, it's a TV show. And really, like, most of the talent was kept in the dark whether we were going to be picked up for another season or not. You know, so anytime I talk with anybody at Lucha Underground, it's like, well, I know as much as you do.
Yeah, and everybody says that. It just would have been nice to have some closure on there, whatever. And I liked Lucha Underground because it was different. It brought a whole different element or whatever, because a lot of the storylines were not so long and drawn out. It was kind of short, and then they ended it. Like, you know, this was going on, and then they had the big end of the world match, and then that was it. They moved on to something else. That's what was really different. And we were talking about that too, which what was smart, what set them apart is back then when they first started, I was working for strictly an MMA jiu-jitsu company on the mat, and the I can't remember the lady's name that called that was doing the media for them. She called and said, hey, we see you have X amount of listeners or whatever. We know that you're, you know, basically mixed martial arts, but we'd like you to come down, check us out. And I talked about it for a long time, and it got a lot of, like, buzz, like people wanted to know because it was different. So whoever was doing the media back then, it was a lady, I can't remember her name for the life of me, but she was smart to where she went to the different outlets, no matter what it was, to get it out there. So that had a lot to do with the success. But anyways, to me, that was just, I thought that was pretty cool that they were smart and they branched out. But real quick for the people listening, we're back live on the air. You're at Wrestle Boss Live with Fabi Chula, and we're talking to cheerleader Melissa, talking a little bit about Lucha Underground and working as Mariposa and stuff like that. But real quick, Melissa, I got to tell you, when I advertise, you know, who I'm having on, I start getting inundated with. First of all, I get inundated with messages and emails of stuff. And not only you. I mean, it's been even some of the mixed martial arts ladies like I have on, like Sarah McMahon and people like that. And I'm like, why would you even ask these sort of questions that you would never ask face-to-face? Do you kind of get what I'm saying here? Do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Or do they kind of know that you'll kick their ass or –
I know it's out there. I guess I don't really have an opinion. You're not, you know what I mean? I don't have an opinion at all. Like, I could care less. I mean, I know it's out there,
yeah.
And it doesn't affect my day-to-day life at all.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I'm like, well, why do you want, if you're so, want to know, how come you don't ask her? Because obviously it's wrong. But not only that, I got inundated with a lot of questions about the cyberbullying, you know, because of what happened to Hannah Kimura and stuff like that. They're like, and I'll be honest, I heard about it, and, you know, I saw a lot of the media, and then Ring of Honor did a special on her, and I knew who she was, and I knew she was a really good worker, but I didn't know was it cyberbullying that she was overweight, or was it personal or something like that? Do you know anything about that?
From what I understand, I knew Hannah Kimura. Personally, and I wrestled her mom for years, so I knew her mom first, and I wrestled her mom, like, way back in the day, like 2004 and like whatever. So I know her mom. From what I understand, it was non-wrestling related. She was on a show, on a Japanese reality show called Terrace House, and there was an incident. There was basically an incident that was indirectly provoked by the producers, you know, meaning where, like, the producers tried to, you know, egg some of the talent to act a certain way, where the talent wouldn't really act that way normally in real life, you know. So,
right.
so indirectly, so from what I understand, the talent, you know, so they kind of like provoked Hannah to basically like say some, like get super angry and say some nasty thing to some dude for doing something to her. And she got up and like flipped his hat. Like I watched a scene, I couldn't understand it, but like she got up and flipped his hat, walked away. But from what I understand, in the Japanese culture, that was just not well received at all. Like any, I mean, and even like, yeah, that was just not well received at all.
Right.
Like at all. Yeah. And that's all the cyberbullying. And it, I heard it was just like to the crazy, like just to a crazy extent, you know, where like people were even making videos saying like, you know, I hope you die. You don't belong here on this earth. Yeah. Like it just. Yeah, like it got really tense, and it wasn't even wrestling related at all. So she got it. So she got the cyberbullying from the general public that watched that show.
Yeah, and yeah. It, but people don't understand. It's a different culture. It's a different lifestyle out there. But because in the opening we were talking about that, and I was saying, well, you know, they're saying, well, ask Cheerleader Melissa if that's ever happened to her. If she's been cyberbullied, and people say, and I'm like, I know they get. Negative as well as, you know, positive, you know, input or whatever, because you're behind the computer and nobody knows who you are. But I was like, I've known Melissa for years. When she's like, she was 17, 18, and we'd be doing shows. Mm-hmm. And you didn't put up with that crap. I thought if somebody would say something, she'd just kick their ass. I never would worry about her because she knew how to handle herself. But do you get stuff like that?
I mean, they try to.
And you just put them in their place right away.
No, I don't know. I don't engage with people at all.
Yeah.
Because that's actually one of my pet peeves with a lot of wrestlers out there. A lot of wrestlers out there will be like, I'm going to put them in their place and say something, whatever. And I'm thinking, like, why would you use your platform to engage with this loser that's got 3 followers, but you're going to give him an audience off of your platform? And in my mind, it's like, what the hell are you, like, why are you going to give this person, like, attention at all?
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't see the point of it. Like, there's just absolutely no way you're going to provoke me for me to say something, or you're going to piggyback or ride my coattails off my followers to get a reaction. Like, hell, like, absolutely not. You know what I mean? And, like...
Thanks.
Like, and what, yeah, like, no.
Exactly,
like,
that's what they want.
Like, you
didn't
know
enough
for me.
They want, yeah, they want you to engage so that then they're, oh, look, she said it back
right.
to me. Now they get their little bit of 50
right.
minutes of fame or whatever. Yeah, I totally
right.
get that. But then it led up to this whole thing out here in California, you know, which we have a lot out here, a lot of independent companies, a lot of lucha companies. And then a lot of these women wrestlers started coming out saying that they've been bullied by promoters,
mm-hmm.
and they have boyfriends that you know were bullying them. Because when you're an independent wrestler, like I've always had a full-time job, so I never worried about it. If I didn't get paid or they didn't pay me what I was supposed to or whatever, I just wouldn't work for you anymore. Was no big deal to me. But some of them, that's their life. And then they get kind of
yeah.
grouchy or whatever, take it out on their girlfriend or whatever. So a lot of that came out and came to the surface. Just after this, you know, a lot of people came out and said, but me personally, and I'm old, you know, you know, from way back in the day,
mm-hmm.
I never saw it. I mean, the promoters, especially somebody like Bart or somebody, they'll put an end to it real quick. They don't, you know, want to see that stuff at their
mm-hmm.
show or whatever. So, and I know Melissa don't put up with that crap, but have you ever experienced anything like that with the promoter or anything where they kind of try to keep you down? I mean, I wouldn't think they would, but has it ever happened?
You know what? I think it's so funny. When you get put on the spot, I can't, like, really, like, think of anything. But, like,
yeah,
there's – but the thing is like, yeah, like, it happened a lot. And, like, my attitude was just like, all right, well, I guess I just got to figure out a different way or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny. I just talked about this on a different podcast. I was on a podcast with Rick Bassman. And we didn't name any
yeah.
names, but I was telling Rick and he didn't know this. I was like, Rick, did you know the reason why I quit your school was because I showed up to pro class and the trainer said that no, there's no girls allowed in the pro class, and that's why I quit your school. And he was just like, I asked him, did you have no women in pro class? Like, he's like, absolutely not. absolutely not, you know. And I was just like, okay,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I, you know, I just, my 17-year-old self or 18, 19-year-old self
yeah.
at UPW, you know what I mean? I was just basically, you know what I mean? I basically just kind of accepted it and was just like, all right, I got to find a different way. And I explained, you know, that was really like my turning point in my career for moving up to All Pro Wrestling, because I had no chances at UPW. Like I would show up, you know, I would show up to the beginners classes, which is fine. And so did all the other girls did too. And everybody did great. But, you know, to be fair, I had like a way of a head start than the other girls. I've been wrestling since I was 15 and I was like,
right.
you know, 20 at the time, whatever. You know, I wasn't going to get a shot with WWE through UPW because I wasn't a diva. It was like the, you know, it was the Attitude Era, let's be fair.
Right.
And then, you know, I wasn't allowed to manage the Ballard Brothers at UPW. And then, so I didn't have that going for me. So I remember thinking the only way I could stand out is like showing up to pro class and then just like killing it in pro class with all the guys. And I showed up and got kicked out for being a female. So,
right.
so I was just like,
right.
you know, like, I got nothing going on.
Yeah, and I don't know if people know that because cheerleader Melissa has been around for a while. Back in the day, even when we were
uh-huh.
working for Johnny Valentine, doing those crazy shows
uh-huh.
where they had alligators and stuff in the ring and all that. So she,
yes.
she has, and I worked for, it's funny because when I saw her at the first Lucha Expo, the one that was in Las Vegas, you know, we were talking and I was saying how much I enjoyed working for Deb because promoters, which I get, you know, you can't let the inmates run the asylum because, you know, then it won't work. The promoter has to keep a kind of a tight lid on it or whatever. But when I worked for Melissa's dad, he was the nicest person that I have, and I would do anything for that man. He gave me so much opportunities or whatever. So I'm going to tell a quick story, and then I'm going to let you get out of here because when we were talking, I didn't get a chance to tell him, but he would always take care of us. He put us up in a hotel or whatever, and if we would stay the night, when we would turn our stuff in the next morning, he would give us like these coupons for hometown buffet and all that. So these are the people that used to work for Melissa's dad. We're doing a show. I can't remember where it was. It was like in the Valley, I think, somewhere. And you were there.
Yeah.
The Ballards were there. John Cena was working as a prototype. Samoa Joe. I was rooming
mm-hmm.
with Frankie Kazarian at that time or whatever. So all of us were out there at the hotel, and we decided there was a little bit of drinking going on, and we decided that we were going to do a belly flop contest or whatever. So Joe
mm-hmm.
did one, and Cena and everybody, and I go, okay, I'm going to be badass. I'm going to do a senton. You know, it's going to be really cool. So I went to go do it, but you know how the right there on the side is super slippery because there's a lot of water? Man, I hit that thing
mm-hmm.
and just full back right on the cement, just splat.
No.
So when I got out, my back was on fire, and all I remember was looking at Joe, and he was clapping his hand. He goes, "You win, buddy, you win." And so we just used to have so much fun back there, and even you were just a pup back then. But we all the point I'm trying to make is we all. I don't want to say the wrestling was secondary because it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. But we just had so much camaraderie. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
much fun. And,
yeah.
and hung. It was just a good time. Nobody was worrying about money or whatever. So I think your dad had a lot to do with that. Everybody was cool and it was comfortable or whatever. And so when you go, hey, he'd love to hear from me, and I talked to him. We talked for a while, and we're talking about that and all that, and I was saying, hey, and he goes, you know what, man, there's no way I could get back into that anymore. It was so rough, you know, trying to keep everything together. And I was like, well, I can personally tell you I appreciate it because I enjoyed it. So, oh, thank you. You know, even to that day, he was still really cool about, you know, helping me out and stuff like that. But I just wanted him to know that I appreciate it. But it came to me that, you know, you were around back then and you were 17, 18 years old. And that's what I'm saying. You didn't
yeah.
put up with any of that. You know, somebody give you a hard time, you were right back on them, you know, or whatever. So, anyways,
yeah. Oh,
just,
you know what? Yeah. And now that I can, you know what? And now that I think about it, yeah, now you just reminded me of like a couple incidents that did pop up in my head that I did have problems. but luckily, you know, I told other people about it, and then they kind of came to my rescue and like, you know, took care of it for me. So, yeah, like, it happens, you know.
Yeah,
it happens. And
that's what
just,
I was going to say. If that ever went on, some of us would take care of it because, you know, they wouldn't put up with that crap, especially with you, because you were always with us and always working fun, always having a good time. But anyways, I'm so sorry for what happened when you got cut off or whatever, but I'm telling you, man, people to this day, when I say I'm going to have Cheerleader Melissa on, I'm just inundated with questions. I mean, it's out there. So right now, for the people listening to us, what, you know, what does the future hold? You're just going to kind of, like we said, me personally, I don't think there's going to be any live wrestling till 2021. I mean, I'm just getting that feeling. We've been trying to work it out.
I don't think it's just not happening.
Yeah, so you're just going to kind of just keep waiting and see what happens?
I have no intention on doing anything for 2020. You know, I'm just basically focusing on myself. Focusing on myself and just focusing on all the other things that, you know, I haven't been able to do because of wrestling. So it's been kind of nice to switch it up a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, now, am I mistaken? Because I remember I was working for King of the Cage, and I was, well, getting on the plane. And didn't I run into you on the plane? We were taking the plane to Minneapolis or something, and you said,
I feel like it. Yeah, you got off. Yeah. I remember you got off on a connection.
Yes. And then I started to go, hey, what's going on? Because you were up in the front. You were in business class, and I was way in the back with the guys.
Whatever.
The yeah, and I was like, and I remember feeling so old because, you know, she was like, the last time I had seen her, you were just, you know, a kid or whatever. And I saw her and I said, man, can you believe that that's her or whatever? So that was like weird how we just saw each other on that plane or whatever. But anyways,
and recognize each other.
I got to tell you. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny back then. But anyways, I got to tell you, you know, props to you for, you know, staying in the game and showing them what's up or whatever. When at the first Lucha Expo, it was great because that was a great, like, venue that everybody kind of got together. I was able to see a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I thought it was great. So the next one, Kevin's working on it. It's going to be in Philadelphia. If that doesn't work out, they might bring it back to San Diego. So I hope to see you out there for sure then. I mean, it's always great to see you. You know, if not, hopefully Vegas will pick up the pace and we can come out there sometime and check it out there. So definitely for the people listeners, make sure you check out what's your social media so they can follow you.
Instagram is Real Future Legend. Follow me on Real Future Legend.
Real Future Legend. Definitely. Hey, Amin, thank you for hanging with me. I'm sorry about what happened, but we'll definitely get together in 2021 and see you. You are welcome on this show anytime. Anything that you got to promote or anything like that, and please, if you see your dad or whatever, tell him I said hello, and I miss him, and he's always been great with me, and I appreciate him, and I appreciate you. All right, my friend?
Of course. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Cheerleader Melissa, everybody. Make sure you check out Future Legend. I'm sorry, Future Legend what?
Real Future Legend.
All right, Melissa, we'll talk to you. So we'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Man, it was touch and go there for a minute. You know, I know we went down for a little bit. Hopefully they'll be able to fix all that in post-production, like as they say, or whatever. But I don't know what the heck's going on with this. This happens like the third time this happened to me, so we're going to work on that, make sure it gets fixed. But it's always good to talk to Cheerleader Melissa, you know, growing up in the business and everything. She didn't put up with that stuff, man. I'm telling you, she was tough as nails. So I'm going to give Richard Ariola a call right now, start talking some wrestling. I got a ton of stuff that I want to talk to him about, so I got to make sure I have everything ready here because it's been getting crazy out there.
Hello.
Hey, Richard, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. How you doing?
Ah, I'm doing good. Real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chula. We're going to be talking to Richard Arreola. Don't forget, you can always check us out here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30, as well as all the Lucha Central outlets. Make sure you check those out. You know, Richard, I'm sorry, bro. I was a little bit late, but for some reason, the calls have been dropping or whatever, so I don't know if, what's going on with the connection or whatever, so I was a little late with my guest that was before you, but we're here now and good to go. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, with all this COVID and everything that's going on, you know, mixed martial arts and, like, fight to win, jiu-jitsu competitions, that's the only thing going on right now. Even though baseball and all that stuff has come back, it's just for me, it's not the same. It doesn't have the same excitement or whatever, so... Real quick before we get into talking a little bit about that, tell us a little bit about, you know, there's a few places that have been able to train outside, some jiu-jitsu places and Muay Thai. They've been taking it outside and working. Now, you know, you got the Arreola Brothers Wrestling, and you guys, which is a good outlet because it gives the kids a chance to train, like, in the off-season because, you know, it's only a certain season for high school wrestling and stuff like that. So right about now, how is everything going with Arreola Brothers Wrestling?
Oh, everything's been going well. Yeah, obviously with COVID happened, you know, pretty much putting a stop to everything. That also put a stop to a lot of to schools as well. You know, like you said, there was a lot of school closures, and a lot of programs kind of suffered for it. So now, you know, they weren't opening up schools, so wrestlers can't train. However, for us, we have a very, very strong relationship with our community here in Orange County, with a lot of the wrestling coaches, and plus, since my brother and I both grew up in this area. In Orange County, we have a very good relationship with all the coaches. So we train some of the coaches, the teams privately. We keep it under very, very small groups, groups under eight. And, you know, but we do find ways to help the kids stay ready, stay sharp. We're very fortunate that we have the facility that we have that's ventilated. And, you know, but in the end, it's just making sure that the kids are safe and whatnot. So it's very important. I know some places, you know, they're, you know, some of them are operable, some of them aren't, but our safety is for the kids. And we just want to make sure that we keep them training because they got season coming up. I mean, the season got pushed back, but it's really not that far away. It's actually in a few months. So, you know, it's coming around the corner.
And do you personally, do you know, so the season is going to go, the high school wrestling season or whatever, because I know some of the kids have gone back to school, some of them are doing virtual or whatever, so mm-hmm. as of now, there is going to be a wrestling season that you know?
Yeah, there is going to be a season, yes, it's just not going to happen until spring. So what's happening is normally wrestling is a winter sport. And obviously that got canceled. And most of the schools in this area are going virtual. I know me, I work for a school district myself, and our program is going virtual. So, you know, we have to make certain teachers and certain students have to make accommodations and everything. For us, we still have our ABW online. We still run our live stream classes for students that feel comfortable being at home. But we know that we have those guys that are ranked in state, ranked in CIF, those guys are getting in work. Those are the ones that we're working hands on with and getting them ready for because they want to make a statement. They want to be ready, even though it is going to be in spring. You know, that's really not that far away if you think about it.
Yeah. And what about yourself and your brother? Have you been training at Jiva's or are you just strictly been concentrated on wrestling? Or well, to be honest, when the COVID first hit and they shut everything down, they said, no, you can't, we need you to stay home or whatever.
Yes.
How long were you completely off of doing anything, of doing any sort of grappling or wrestling or jiu-jitsu? About how long was that period?
To be honest with you, the moment COVID hit, the moment COVID hit and the shutdowns got implemented, me, I haven't stopped training. I've continued to be here at the gym in Anaheim. Obviously, one jiu-jitsu was shut down, so I couldn't get to my team. I couldn't get to my coach at that time. So me and my brother immediately got to the gym and got to work because we understood that, you know what, yes, you know, like there's still certain places that are closed down, but however, you know, we have access to a facility for ourselves, thank goodness. So we're able to get our repetitions in, we're able to train, we're able to do our wrestling, our jiu-jitsu, to get ready. If anything, it's kept me in good shape. I haven't really gained any weight at all. I put on a lot of muscle. If anything, I have a super fight coming up in about 3 weeks. So that's exactly, you know, I've been primed and ready for this.
Is that for Fight to Win, or what company is that for?
Yes, it's going to be for Fight to Win in about 3 weeks in Dallas, Texas. So it'll be a super fight. Gi or no gi, it's yet to be determined. But I know I've been training and making improvements and making positive strides throughout this quarantine. I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm pretty pumped, and my brother's excited too.
Yeah, that Seth has been working nonstop to get that stuff mm-hmm. out there, and which is good, man. I mean, it gives you a good. When I first started training, that's what my jiu-jitsu instructor said. He goes, you know, if you're training just to train, here's a place that you could test your skills, you know, and see. And he always preached, you know, go for the best. I mean, if you can beat somebody who you know you can beat, what does that say about you? He goes, but if you test yourself up against the top guys. And even if you lose, you know, you're still learning, you know, because you're going up against the best and you always learn something from there. So something like that, fight to win or whatever, just that's a top guys and you really get a chance to test your skills. But the point I'm trying to make is I'm going to be honest with you because I didn't train no wrestling, no jiu-jitsu or anything for almost, I'm going to say about 2.5 months. I still weight trained and everything like that. But, dude, there's a big difference. I mean, there's a huge difference between just training and being on the mat and actually, you know, going one-on-one and training. So I did work a lot of technique, which wasn't too bad. But once you start live sparring, that's mm-hmm. a big difference, man. I mean, I was blown.
Oh, huge
and, you
difference.
Know, yeah, you try, you know, out there, they're like, hey, Fabi, where are you going? And you going to throw it up? And up? No, I just got to go outside and get some air. And then they know where you're going, man. And you can't get around it or whatever.
Oh.
But you keeps, when you keep training, you keep your timing, you keep your you know, your cardio and everything like that. It's a big, and I found out the hard way. So it's good that you guys have something like that where you can keep training and keep them motivated and keep moving and you know, staying in shape like that. So it's good that you have that. Now, what about your brother? Is he going to be in the same tournament, or is he getting ready for anything also?
Well, right now my brother is getting prepped. He's going to be having surgery soon, knee surgery. So he's, he's going to be having knee surgery. It's been long overdue for a while for the both of us, but he's the first that's going to go. So he's going to be going in hopefully in about a month. So right now he's kind of just drilling, training light, but he's still been with me. He's been working with me and, you know, obviously we're just keeping a moderate pace. For us, the primary focus has been sharpening, refining skills, a lot of drilling, a lot of learning new techniques, a lot of brushing up on old techniques. Nothing really crazy too hard. I mean, we'll have our moments where like we'll maybe devote like one or two practices that are hard, but the majority of the time we're just focusing on skill refinement, you know, because when you focus on skill refinement, you know what I mean? Because once you focus on repetition and skill refinement, you're going to go out there already prepped and ready. And your jiu-jitsu is really going to be displayed properly. You know what I mean? As opposed to just going live all the time.
And it's the way you got, because, you know, I follow both of you guys, you know, on all the social media. And, you know, when I come home after work and I'm getting, because I have two shows, so I'm always getting ready for that. So I'm always watching videos.
Wow.
But you can, you know, in your style, you can see, because I've always, when I get the gi on, I mean, I can pretty much go, I'm 55 years old now, but I can pretty much go with anybody without the gi. Once I put the gi on, for me, it's a different story. I've always been, my mindset has been, well, I got to grab and I want to pull this and collar choke. But when I see you guys, you can see that mindset there because you'll shoot that leg. You know, you'll shoot the single and you'll come around and I can see that wrestling, you know, implemented into the jiu-jitsu or whatever. So I got to come down and check you guys out in person because I can see that wrestling influence in there. I've always been like, I was too afraid to shoot and go for a double leg or a high crotch or something like that because I was afraid they're going to grab my collar and I'm going to be choked and that's going to be it. But you can see when I watch you guys, it's there. You kind of know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's always been the biggest issue. Like when we first started training jiu-jitsu is when you go in for takedowns, guys are, you know, grabbing the collar and stiff arming you. So it's hard to get, you know, they're controlling the distance. So it's hard to get in that takedown. But me and my brother have found our ways in terms of making sure they don't even put their hands on our collars. We do a lot of hand fighting. We do a lot of grip fighting. There are ways, there's a system that I've been working on for a while that I use to kind of break the collar grips. It's not the first time I had people just take their collar grips and stiff arm me. I got my ways around it, but it's been working. You know, we drill these techniques, these hand fighting techniques, these grip breaking techniques, so that way the moment they even reach for us, you know, we're already on the legs already.
Yeah. And it's easy for the people listeners, if you follow the Arreola brothers on their social media and stuff like that, they're always putting good stuff like that you could see. And me, I've been doing this for a long time. And when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you could really see how they implement that. And, you know, because I was always – my jiu-jitsu coach is like, you got to get that out of your head. For some reason, you get the gi on, you think that this is going to happen, but you know, you got to keep doing it. And my mindset has always been like, no, I'm a wrestler first. And so it, even though it's taken a while, I could see now, you know, that you can, like you said, you know, shoot the leg and fight the hands and stuff like that. So even though I'm 55 and I've been doing it for a while, I'm still learning and still trying to get that mindset or whatever. Now, Richard, are you training right now? Do you have to go, or can you stand for about another 10 minutes?
No, I can stay on for another 10 minutes. Right now, my brother he's running the private practices right now, but we're okay. I'm good for time.
Okay. Well, let me just take a quick break. I'll come back, ask a couple of more questions, and then I'll let you go. Okay. Hang on 1 second.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always. Use your head.
You always use that head on the chair shot. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're at Russell Boss Live with Fabi Chula, and we're talking to Richard Arriola, talking a little bit about the jiu-jitsu with the gi and implementing and stuff like that. Now, real quick before I let you go, the big news, you know, that everybody's been talking about, I wanted to run this by you. AJ, you pronounce his name Agazaram? Or
I think it's Agazarian.
Agazaram. Yeah. He had a big fight in Bellator with Chris Lesione, and you know, you talk about poor sportsmanship. You know, he said, "Oh, I got headbutted, and this was wrong," and he went after the judges. And the it's funny because I'm not to be name dropping, but I've known Mike Beltran for a long time. He when I was announcing the King of the Cage, him and I traveled a lot, and you know, I really got this really cool guy. And what they were saying is that after the decision, Mike kind of grabbed their hands and kind of brought them together to kind of shake hands, and he pulled away and acted like that. So when I called and I talked to him today, and I said, is it required? Okay, when there's a knockout and the guy's sitting on the stool, you know, the guy goes up there to announce and they raise his hand or whatever. But I said, are you required, if it's a decision, to go up there, you know, and you hold their hands to do the winner? And he said, no, it's not. Like, you're not going to get fined or get in trouble for it. You just, you know, you kind of do it. And but this guy, when I kind of – it's kind of a habit. Like, I bring him together, shake hands, hey, you know, good fight or whatever. He said, but this guy was just all over the place, so I just let him go. So you as a coach, I've always been – you know, I've never been like that. Hey, you beat me. I'm going to shake your hand and I'm going to go. Give me your thoughts on that, man, because I thought that was horrible. The people, you know, in general think that mixed martial arts fighters or whatever are just a bunch of animales or whatever. That, to me, gives the sport a bad name. I hate to see that. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts are, I mean, I did see that. First off, I did see the fight, and I did see the aftermath of what happened with that. Me, quite frankly, I don't blame Mike Beltran at all. I think the martial arts and wrestling and combat sports, any sport for that matter, is built on respect. Especially it takes guts for two guys to go in there and step in a cage and just do what they do to each other. You know, and you know, granted, you know, even if there was talk before the match, it shouldn't really matter. You know, AJ's a wrestler. I know he knows, he's been around the best before, so he knows how to conduct himself. You know, I think, you know, people in the heat of the moment, they just kind of behave in a certain way. I don't think that behavior should be tolerated at all. I don't blame Mike Beltran for bringing those guys together. He's teaching those guys a lesson about life. I wouldn't say guys, it was particularly one guy. But, you know, I mean, and the thing is, too, is, you know, AJ, I think he made a post, apologizing, which I appreciate, you know, because, takes a lot to... It takes a lot to know, because when you're in the heat of the moment, it'd be one thing if this event occurred and he didn't say anything or apologize, period, for it. But, you know, he came back and realized, hey, look, I behaved poorly. I'm sorry. You know, good fight. And, at least he recognized the behavior and he humbled himself, you know, in that way.
I know in the heat of the moment it gets like that, but I just hate to see it I've been doing this for a long time, you know, in the business. I mean, I worked for Tap Out for 7 years. I worked for Ed Soares for a year on the mat. And I've always wanted to see mixed martial arts just be like a considered mainstream sport, just professional, because the people just don't understand it. I like to see the announcers, everybody in a coat and tie, and just very professional. When I was working for Terry Trebilcock, the owner of King of the Cage, when they first got the contract with the UFC, you know, for the archives and stuff like that, we used to wear like the mock black T-shirt, you know, with your suit or whatever. Once we got that, he's like, look, I want everybody in a suit and tie. You know, I want everything to be professional or whatever. And I liked that. I was like, yes, everything is real professional so the people, you know, they'll understand. So that's what I'm saying. I wanted, you know, the people to understand it. So anyways, I agree with you 100%. But real quick before I let you go, Gary Lee Tonin the best going today or Andres Galvao?
Oh, I like them both, but I like them both. But I had to make a choice. I mean, Galvao is obviously has a tremendous amount of accolades. But I root for the home team. I love Gary Tonin, red, white, and blue, baby. Let's
do it. Yeah, that dude can go, man. You know, when we first started working for On the Mat, they had a shop in Hawthorne, in the city of Hawthorne, right there, and they brought Andres Galvao down to come and do some sign-ins and stuff like that, and we're going to put him on the radio. When I saw that dude, I mean, TV does that dude no justice. That dude was in shit. And I was still pretty new to the jiu-jitsu game, and I'm like, who the heck is this guy? And they're like, that's him.
Legend,
I'm like, holy shit. Nicest guy on earth, and which is good. And even, like, he had a big tournament. He's like, hey, you guys got to come down. And really, really nice. But, I mean, when you see him, it's like, man, that's a big dude, man. And
that's a big
great
guy.
Yeah, what about in the gi? When we first started working for On the Mat, you know, Scotty Nelson's like, well, if you're going to be working for me, you got to train in the gi. You have to know what you're talking about. So the first Jiu-Jitsu Expo was the first time I got to see Rafael Lovato Jr. Live. And, I mean, that guy was just amazing. And we followed him, you know, because he was sponsored by On the Mat. And we followed him all the way, you know, till I stopped working for them, but I still follow him today. But I mean, every time I've seen him live, I mean, I'm just the dude is just nails, man. So do you think the best right now? I mean, it's hard to say, well, this guy's the best and this not, but I mean, he's got to be up there at least in the top three, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny you mention Rafael Lovato Jr. because I actually have his instructional. It's called Top Game Devastation, and just that whole instructional that I purchased right there, and within the first like 10 minutes, first 5 minutes, I already gained a lot of knowledge and so much value out of that. He has a great style. I love his smash passing. I like his details and how he breaks things down so simple. I love his knee slice, I think it's a cross collar knee slice pass series. I love that series. I use it now and it's part of my game. And, you know, I've heard his interviews too with Joe Rogan and everything, and he seems like a very nice guy. But without a doubt, you know, I think he's a phenomenal athlete, and he's won the Masters, you know, like a few times, which is pretty awesome. You know, that's something I'd like to do too. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, put it this way: somebody didn't show up to do a seminar, so they put him in there, and he was showing us the pressure pass, or whatever. And you know, we were still pretty new to the game. And he goes, "Here, let me show you." And I'm like, "Oh my god." I mean, we were just in awe of the stuff that he could do. Well, put it this way, it was him, and then the next one was Jeff Munson. So it was like,
oh,
so
Jeff
we
Munson,
went
yeah.
From Lovato to Munson. I mean, it was just amazing. So we were like, how would you say it? Like thrown into the deep end or whatever.
Oh, you know, there you go.
We first started getting. So, the reason I say this is because I think jiu-jitsu and wrestling and grappling is the greatest sport ever. I mean, it's just the camaraderie and all that. When, you know, that's why we're in the business so long. When we stopped with Tap Out, the community came together and said, hey, well, Ed Suarez called. Hey, he wants you over there. And then we stopped for a while, and the jiu-jitsu community as a whole called Scotty Nelson and said, hey, can you get him back on the air because we want an outlet or whatever. So it's just been great. So when I started working for Lucha Central and they said, hey, you know, you can keep, you know, your jiu-jitsu guys and all that, I was like, perfect, man. So it worked out
awesome
for all of us. But for the people listening, don't forget, follow the Arreola brothers, man. I'm telling you, man, just following them and seeing what they do, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's great that the kids have an outlet so they can go somewhere in the off season and keep learning. And like I said, you stop for a little while, I was proof that you gotta stick with it and stay with it and keep sharp or whatever. So hey, we'll definitely come out there and see you sometime. You know, I'm with this new company. I'm still fairly new, but they're like, hey, man, if you want to do some live broadcasts, we'll make sure that we upload them and get them out onto all our outlets and everything like that. So once this COVID is completely done, we'll definitely come down. We'll film it. We'll get some video and we'll get everything out there. All right, my friend?
Wonderful. Thank you so much. By the way, I just want to say I'm so happy you're back, Bobby. We missed you, and welcome back. And also, too, happy birthday, man. I just had a birthday that just passed, dude. Happy birthday. You're awesome. We love you, man. We're glad you're back.
Hey, man, much love to you guys. I definitely – that's what sets it apart, man, is that the jiu-jitsu community. And, like, whenever I call and say, hey, man, we'd like to come down and do a live broadcast, sure, man, come on down. You know, that's why I love the sport so much, and we're definitely going to come and check out the Arreola brothers. So, hey, a million thank yous for coming on. We'll come and see you soon. Okay, my friend?
Thank you, Fabi. Have a good one.
You got it. Richard Arreola Brothers, make sure you check them out. They're doing good things. We'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Man, that Richard Arreola and his brothers, man, they do good things. You know, I'm telling you, they make sure, for lack of a better term, I've had a lot of doors shut in my face because there's some, got to be honest, there's some jiu-jitsu places that I went to and I'm like, hey, you know, I would like to get you guys on the air, but they, you know, we don't got time for that or whatever. But then you got people like the Arreola brothers and like Alan Goez and people like that. They're just like, dude, you're welcome anytime. Just come down, check us out, you know, whatever you need or whatever it makes up, you know, a lot for all that. So we appreciate that. So big thanks to cheerleader Melissa for hanging on. I had to hang up and call her back. We're going to get this worked out. I think it might be on my end. I'm not too sure. We'll make sure, you know, through Blog Talk or whatever that we get everything going. I got Steve Payne coming on next week. He same thing. He was in Lucha Underground for a little while, but he started out here with us in the local indie scene. So we're going to talk to him next week. And I'm trying to get Jeff Munson, but he's been coming back and forth from Russia. Huge. I mean, that dude is nails when we talk about jiu-jitsu and grappling and stuff like that. So big thanks to cheerleader Melissa and, of course, Richard Arreola and, of course, Kevin Kleinrock for making all this possible. Greg DeMarco, man, I'm sorry I'm going to have to make you work this time because I don't know what the heck happened. Stuff was going down and making stuff difficult. But we'll definitely look forward to seeing everybody next week. Appreciate you guys. We're going to see you all next week.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.